Hi, I'm Amy Sauter, your host for the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. We're delivering fresh interviews and news on living a healthy lifestyle full of fresh fruits and vegetables and the ins and outs of the business world that make that possible. Have you ever heard about those ultra rapid grocery delivery services? As in, you can be baking an apple pie and realize you're short on a gala or two, or do you say gala or two? Depends. Tomato, tomato. And order it on your app and have it at your door within 15 minutes. Really. In this episode, I talk with Jay Schneider of Gorillas in the US, which is based in New York City, of course. He tells us how this kind of business actually works. Now let's hear it directly from Jay.
Hi, this is Amy Sauter, the editor of Produce Market Guide and retail and education editor at The Packer. And we have here today with us Jay Schneider, the head of buying and marketplace in the US for Gorillas. Welcome.
Hi, how are you, Amy? Nice to be here.
So we're fascinated about this Gorillas and the ultra fast grocery delivery services that have been popping up nationally and worldwide in the last few years. And but first, I would like to hear a little bit about your background and your transition from what we could call traditional retailers to what you're doing now.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've 38 years with Albertsons, and you know, most of my career is in fresh and produce, and now being head of market here, big difference, right? Coming from brick and mortar, where there's 80,000 plus SKUs, to an operation now where you have 2,300. So I've been at Gorillas now for, it's just been about a year now. This is the first week of April. So pretty gratifying to work from a formidable big company like Albertsons and coming to a startup, which is a great experience. So.
And Gorillas started in, is it Germany or where?
Yeah, so I can give you a little background on that.
Yeah.
Gorillas is in nine countries, you know, Germany, UK, France, Netherlands, Belgium, Denmark, Italy. And they've been around over there from May 2020. Here in the US, we are rounding our year anniversary at the end of May since 2021. So currently we do have about 20 warehouses. They call them dark stores.
Dark stores, yes.
We're opening up a few more in the next few weeks. So we have a really good growth model here in the US in our marketing plans. So.
And how does it work?
So, okay, it's the magic question. Everybody wants to know how it works. So lots of folks are interested in this space. And how it works is this. We have a dark store. There's probably 3,000 square foot to the most part. We're in major cities in New York. Right now, we are staying in New York. We our plan was publicly known last year. We were going to go build out in some of the other cities, but we wanted to concentrate in New York. And I think that's the right thing to do, especially with a startup. Like Frank Sinatra said, if you make it, they make it there, you can make it anywhere. Right. And that's kind of like our motto is to make it in New York. So we do have 20 stores, 2,500 to 3,000 square foot and 2,300 SKUs. I mean, that's all you can carry. And that's the hard part coming from brick and mortar to this model here. We have couriers, bike riders who are employed by Gorillas. They're not what you call gig drivers. So order goes off, you know, the pickers will pick it, put it in a bag, goes on the biker's back and out the door he goes, he or she. Our motto is delivered in minutes. Our warehouses are about a mile and a half to 2 miles radius, you know, for our riders to go around. And that's how we deliver. It's sometimes you can get it in 10 minutes, 11 minutes, 12 minutes. You can boil water, run out of pasta, order from gorillas, and by the time the pasta comes, your water will be boiling and ready to put the pasta in. So it's a fascinating model. I think what we created here was a need. Everybody says, the pandemic. I look at how things are going here, and it's not like a pandemic where, nobody wanted to go out or was doing their full food shop, that type of thing. We're in need where people order as needed. If they run out of basil, they're making this, making that, we're here to fill that void. But we have a broad spectrum of items. You cannot carry everything. And I'll turn to produce. We have about 80 to 90 SKUs in produce. I'm very proud of what we created in fast convenience with produce. Everybody knows when you go into a supermarket and buy strawberries, which is the first thing you do. Look at the bottom, right? So from, again, the conclusion from brick and mortar to here is, how do you get that container of strawberries to the customer to when they do lift that bottom up, it's what they expect to be. So we balance things out with organic and conventional. So if if we don't carry a conventional gala and an organic gala, it's either one or the other. You carry maybe a conventional gala and an organic Fuji, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We'll carry all organic berries. They index the highest, and maybe a one conventional strawberry. So we try to keep it, we try to mix it. We carry all the staple items. Fresh really drives our business here. And it goes through the model of brick and mortar, where why customers shop. Fresh really drives it for us here.
In the same way it does for traditional
stores. At least the gorillas. I mean, when you look at us, and I'll say versus our competitors, we carry the best selection in produce. We just do. I could say that, and I could say that very confidently that we do. I mean, but you have to pick the right partners, the right distributors. It's a different model. You have to pick your partners to where you're going in and out of the city, frequent deliveries, in and out, flexibility. It's really a finesse business. And what I mean by a finesse business, it's like hitting a 50-yard chip shot with the pin tucked in the corner. And it's not like you just go up there and say, hey, I need 10 loads of strawberries or this, that, and the other. It's not like that. So it's very precision-based. It's very strategic. You have to watch your waste numbers. You have to have the right amount in each store. Our supply chain does a great job of that. And you have to really keep looking at your assortment. From produce to meat to grocery, it's evolving because 2,300 SKUs go, everything goes in and out, in and out, in and out. Some things don't sell, then you take them out, you put something else in, but your staple items are still there. Your big items are what takes you over the goal line. And it's working for us. We have a great marketing team that's out there. We had a Super Bowl commercial, or not Super Bowl. I'm sorry, not Super Bowl. A Monday Night Football commercial during the Giants and Tampa Bay game, which was great, right? In the New York metro area. If you go in the city, you see our signs, our advertisements everywhere. And from when I first started there and looking around and how are we going to get this thing off the ground versus now, it's pretty satisfying. Now the space is getting crowded. Some of our competitors bowed out of the city, but we're perched pretty good now in terms of our growth plan here. And I think we have the right people. We have a very experienced buying team here.
Yeah, I had met a couple people from when I was doing a farm tour in New Jersey. I had met a company called a couple people from Fridge No More, and then I heard that it's no more now.
Yeah. Fridge No More and Bike, sadly enough, bowed out of the city.
Who are the other competitors?
So right now our other competitors, in the city are, Joker, Getter, GoPuffs of the world. So it's not as crowded as it was before. It's very competitive. And we're a very cultural company. We stand by our game plan. We stick to it. We don't change it. And we have a lot of experienced folks on our team, from my buying team, from 7-Eleven, from Albertsons, from strong independents across the city and from other cities. So we have a really experienced team here, and it's fun. I mean, I'm doing something totally different that I never thought I'd be doing this in this stage of my career.
Yeah,
but it's interesting how you merchandise an app versus how you merchandise a store. And how you merchandise an app is, hey, what is it that customer first sees on that app, or where's that tile at, or how do customers, react to different things, how you put in the app. And it's kind of like when you walk into a store, what's that first display they look at? What do they buy on impulse and all that fun stuff? So it's very exciting. But like I said, we are very, we have stores in Williamsburg, Chelsea, Hudson Yards, Flatbush, very cultural all over the city. And it really taught me a lot at this stage of my career on what's out there with brands, what's out there with a lot of local brands. We support a ton, not just in produce, but a ton of local corner shops that have products. And that's what Gorillas was basically founded on. We want to partner with some of these local
folks. Oh, how does that work?
We have a local buyer, this guy John. He hits ground running, and he came from a strong independent in the city, has lots of strong contacts with folks in there. And we partner with them, and we're very big with supporting women-owned brands, Black-owned brands. And we continue to develop that. We're a sustainable company. We care about the environment. We donate to local food banks, and we're very cultural, and we stand by that. And people love our brand. People love Gorillas, and we're going to continue to grow that.
The dark store. Can you go into that a little bit more? How those are dark stores compared to traditional?
Yeah, I can. So the one thing about our dark stores are we have a few that are, open. You can go click and collect type of thing and go in. But the one thing when I do tours and I bring some folks in, some vendors in, this is not like a regular store. Nothing's like faced and stacked like this. When you walk through a store, we do not put like items next to each other. So if you have like a Ronzoni pasta, you're not going to put two, like a linguine and a rigatoni together. You keep them separate because you don't want mispicks. So you might see a Ronzoni or a product here and then a product 10 feet down. So it's really different. You can still have beverage all together, but you can have, Coke, Pepsi, Gator, everything like separated out. So there's no mispicks. But we do carry, we have 70 frozen items. We carry ice cream. Everything in our store is like freezer doors that you would see in a supermarket. Carry meat, carry strip steaks, boneless chicken. We carry enough to have a meal. We're doing ready meals now. With company, we have sandwiches. We offer 30. We have breakfast items in the morning. So we're constantly looking to expand for the time-starved customer with meals and options in general for customers.
So, I mean, just to explain the very basics for people, the dark store means that the general public don't go and shop there. You do not
walk in. You don't walk the aisles. You go in and you can order on the app, and then we can, you can pick up your bag of groceries there. But no, you don't walk in a store like a regular store. We have arrows when we do pick. There's like, it's like one way streets. You cannot go the opposite way. Everything goes up, down, up, down, up, down, pick, pack, and out the door it goes. So I'd love to, if you're in New York one day,
I actually live in the suburbs of the city.
Yeah, I'd love to give you a tour. You can see it. We've done many tours, you know, with folks to really understand the space. And quite honestly, folks that are listening out there to want to, you know, try to do business with us, you have to really understand the model. People don't know what it is. You know, they hear about it, but until you experience it and walk out, you're like, wow, this is a pretty cool concept. It works and customers love it. They do. And there's always the, hey, how fast do people really need their groceries, right? How fast do they? And that's the question, you know. In New York, they want it fast. You know, if you're ready to catch a plane and you're going away and you're like, wow, I need a phone charger. I don't have it. I lost it. Mine burned out. Hold on. Let me call Gorillas. I'll get it within minutes. And then I'll still put it in my bag and jump and go on a plane. You know, so there are all those convenient type of things that we try to fill needs for customers. Or if you want to bring an apple to the teacher.
So yeah.
Anything, you know, so.
Well, what's changing with this? Why do you think some of the companies that didn't make it, how, you know, what are some of the pitfalls of the, besides time?
Well, it's I can't speak for, you know, why other companies went out. You know, it's you know, we're a strong company. You know, we have a good backing. We, just to give you some background on it, we overseas, you know, we partnered with Tesco. Everybody remembers Tesco over here years ago and Jumbo Markets. So we have good backing. You know, we have good leaders in this company that keep us on the right track here. To make the right decisions. Hey, let's just stay in New York, concentrate on New York, grow. You know, limit your mistakes, learn before you make that next move. And we're constantly learning here. And I think we have a great team. I think we have an experienced team, which helps understand what's the right and wrong to do in terms of business decisions.
But I mean, for this section of the grocery retail industry as a whole, not just Gorillas, but I was hoping maybe you could explain it kind of for the, just this whole concept or subsection. What are some things that you have to, that have been learned? I mean, I'm sure the learning curve, and with any startup, there's a huge learning curve.
There is. So some of the things we've learned, honestly, you always have to control when you start out on any business. Hey, what's your baseline, right? What is it that until you get volume, you know, when you only open one or two stores up, you really don't have any scale. You know, that's the biggest thing,
right?
You know, you don't have scale with your suppliers. You know, you're going one or two stores. So once you get scale, you learn and you understand what that baseline is. You understand how much to order, you know, through supply chain. You know how much to control your waste. You know how much to expect. And then once you open more stores up, then you see the similarities on some of your top items that go through every store. You know, when you open up your first few last year, it's tough, right? Hey, we opened one or two stores up. How's that going to go? The other things are when we first physically open up a store, you know, now we can open them up like that. We have people going in there. The first few open up, you know, we're missing this. We got that. What's this? What's the, you know, all those type of things are ironed out now. And, you know, when we sit there and say, hey, we're going to open up a store or two, our teams are like, boom, boom, boom. You learn from those mistakes. And that's the hardest thing, is you have to get the scale up and going. And you have to have great partners. You have to have vendor partners that really believe in what you're doing and they believe in your philosophy, and you have to have good relationships with them. And I do have that with some of our suppliers from my past history in business.
How are those transactions different than like with a major supermarket? Like a growth, you know, brick and mortar store. You kind of touched on that a little bit already, but I mean, you're buying less at one time or more often.
Yeah, you're buying. You know, like on fresh, You know, we have a great supplier. You know, we have multiple deliveries, you know, to keep it fresh, keep it going, you know, with the order cycle. So it is, but you'll see the similarities through brick and mortar and fast convenience that, hey, some of the top people still want boneless chicken breast. It's one of our top selling items, right? People still want strawberries. And those are the type of brands that continue to go. But the difference here is that we have so many great local brands that, you know, when you're in New York City, there's just so many of those different local brands that are out there. And that is kind of like the difference too. You have, you know, the big brand, you know, Bounty and your big type of items like that. But then you have the smaller type of items that really, you know, are cultural, that are in the city that we carry. And that's like the biggest difference. Like, you know, when you're in a big supermarket, yeah, you have some of those local things, but we're actually talking to these folks. They're coming to our facility, or our buyers going to them and really talking to them face to face. And it really gets, you know, personal, you know, to a good point with this. And that's a big difference here. It's more, like I said, it's more finesse, it's more intimate. And it's with our suppliers, they really take care of us. It's not like the volume, like a big supermarket, you know, my past life, where you're moving 10 loads or something like that. But it's an account that everybody cares about and willing to move in and out with different items to affect your assortment. That's the key. So, you know, we're trying all sorts of different things, and there's things that work. There's things that don't work. And no different than brick and mortar. You're always going to try different things. I've done some crazy things in the past that haven't worked. And I've done some good things in the past that work. And it's the same thing here. But how do you find that? But we have great leadership here. And I know I keep saying that, but we have my boss, everybody's great. I'm like the old man here. I'm the old guy, you know, coming from the brick and mortar, and I just love it. I love the people, and I love the fast convenience sector. It's not going to go away. People think that this is going to go away. It's not. It might change. It might tweak a little bit, but it's not going to go away.
Yeah, I've seen some articles recently, like especially since a couple competitors went out of business, and the world keeps changing so fast, saying that it might, the business model of ultra-fast might not be able to make it, or there's not enough demand. Why do people need something that fast, or this or that? But you're seeing that even if it changes with whatever needs to be changed, it's still going to be here.
It is. It's going to be here. There's going to be, you know, folks in this business where it's going to keep going. You know, the COVID thing, you know, the COVID thing has an effect. Like, since we've been here since May, like, we weren't really here when the heat of it was, you know, that following year, 2020. We weren't really here then. We kind of came in where there was waves up and down. But it's interesting the how the city works versus the trends from brick and mortar. Like, sometimes in the city, when you look at the holidays, sometimes everybody leaves the city. They go back to mom, or they go here or there, and you find the different trends of what sells, what doesn't. I mean, we'll continue to theme ads every week, no different than brick and mortar. You know, we had Easter ham, we have turkeys. Now, they're not big. Do we have pumpkins? Yes, we have mini pumpkins, not 15-pound pumpkins.
Yeah.
There are things that you try to, yeah, how do you fit that in that you did here into this model, you know? And that's what you're constantly doing with that. So it's the biggest thing for me, like when you look at produce too, you know, we sell apples by the each now. We don't sell it by the pound. So there's differences there. You know, we don't scale things up, you know, and I know some, you know, local convenience stores do that and all, but that was a big difference for me too.
What kind of bikes do the delivery people use?
They're just regular bikes with a, You know, a backsack on it. They're souped up bikes, I call them, you know, and it's not just like a 10 speed bike, but they're very safe. They're always serviced, you know, no different than a car. People come in and service them. They jump on the bike and they go. Actually, I did a ride once, which is pretty cool. And the bikes were like Cadillacs, actually. I don't know the detail. I don't want to say something wrong with that. I don't know, but they're interesting. It's not a regular bike.
Wondering if they had little motors on them.
Yeah, there's like a little regulator on there. They jump on it and go. And our drivers are great. We get a lot of customer compliments on our drivers. You know, they're very friendly. It's kind of like no different than a checker, right, in a supermarket. They're the face of the company. They go. So we take a lot of pride in our drivers. They work very hard out there to deliver to our customers.
And how do you see this evolving, or, you know, what kind of tech have you needed or use that kind of new?
There's a lot of things on the procurement side that I don't want to speak for our procurement team that they're using. We're definitely, since, you know, last year, really evolved on that side. We are, you know, a tech retail company, you know, want to get more to the tech side and continue to evolve that. We have a great global staff that supports us here in the United States. We have lots of different tools to measure our sales, no different from my past life. We have all those tools to, hey, what did you sell yesterday? We, you know, that's really evolved from last year. So we're able to really dig into a lot of data and see our performance, you know, day after day with that. So we're an evolving company. I always, my famous quote is, we are a test and learn. Test and learn. We're test and learn. Folks come with us, they want to do, you know, hey, how much are we going to sell? Well, it's test and learn, but we can do this, 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 and this. And a lot of brands come to us in New York. You know, they want to spotlight products in New York City. You know, it's a big city. It's a big audience here. You know, so when you come, you know, folks come with products to us, they want to put it on our app. They want to showcase it. They want to put it in a top banner. They want to get it out there in New York City. So that's okay.
Yeah. So it is a retail tech company. The store is the app, basically.
Yes.
I mean, unless you do the pickup, click and collect type thing, you said, but you've already bought it all. App.
So yeah, it's an app. We you know, like I said, with 20 locations, we have one. And it's no different than, you know, like an omni-channel type app. You know, I would say to an extent, you still have the products on there and all, but you'll see if you know, folks go on and download our app, it's really a great experience. It's very cultural experience. It's a very clean experience. But you'll really enjoy what we do. Some of the things that I'm pretty proud of that we do is, you know, we partnered with a woman-owned brand product. And every product we sold, you know, we donated to a woman's battered shelter. Stuff like that, which is really means a lot. I mean, that it's a great company. You know, we really look at that first when we do partnerships with folks. So we're very looking at that as a brand perspective that really helps us grow the company and give us our brand.
Are you able to, I know with a larger scale brick and mortar stores, you have to source from large growers or vendors because it just makes more business sense than getting little bits from all different people. Yeah. But with this way, are you able to use vendors or suppliers that are smaller scale?
Difference. That's hard. You know, I still have folks, you know, kind of not knowing where I'm at and saying, hey, Jay, I got a load of onions to move. I'm like, I can't move a load of onions here, you know? So It's not. I mean, we work with a supplier, and that's a big change for me. You know, I'm just used to having our own warehouse and having our own, you know, first receiver costs, corporate costs and all. So it's different going through a distributor and managing through that. You know, obviously, it's not what I was used to before, but you get used to it. Like I said, it goes back to the relationships and the people that you know that understand the business to go through these type of suppliers. But they understand the business model, no different than, you know, like you're asking now, people, you're curious when you approach folks to say, hey, we're going in this fast convenience business. We're going to deliver groceries under 15 minutes. And they're looking at you like, Jay, why, where are you going? And I'm like, look, this is where we're going. This is where I'm going. You know, you're either with me or you're not, you know, and they're believers now, you know, they're believers in it. It's something new. It's expected with folks, right? They don't know what it is until you get into it. And then the success rolls and, you know, it's about momentum in this business, you know, and then, you know, 10 people tell somebody, 10 people tell another 10, and it just keeps going, 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 going. And it just keeps, the momentum is going. And we feel right now at Gorillas that we have awesome amount of momentum in this marketplace on what we're doing. And it's very, very satisfying.
How do you tip the drivers or do you do it on the app?
Yeah, you can tip our drivers. Yes, you can tip the drivers, which is great. We have a real great operations team. If you're, like I said, when you're ever in New York, I'd love to give you a tour.
Yeah,
to meet the folks. Our headquarters in New York City is in Chinatown.
Oh, good.
Really, yeah, cool part of town.
Lots of fun produce to look at around there.
Lots of fun produce to look at on the street. Yeah, it is. I'd love to give you a tour of it, and you could talk about like, hey, you know, this is how it works. But until you go in there and really experience it, you're like, wow, this is
cool.
Because when you see the products that are in there, the products are like, wow, you guys carry this, you carry that. It's like, well, yeah, we do. And again, it's 2,300 SKUs, right? So you can't be everything to everybody. If a vendor comes in and says, hey, I got a line, I have five items. Hey, just give me your top two. I can't take all five. You know, they're the type of decisions you have to make. But again, you know, when we built this thing out, you know, we really put a lot of effort into produce. I mean, it's a big driver for us here at Gorillas. It's a very big driver for us.
The significantly smaller number of SKUs means you're able to be more nimble with it. Is that?
Well, you can't. Yeah, because you can't carry. If you carry 4,000 SKUs, you'll never be able to navigate and get stuff, you know, in a decent amount of time. Plus, it's a lot to manage in fast convenience, at least for us, it is here. You know, you want to keep it to where it's really manageable and precise. You know,
you can't have a dark store that's too huge all around the city. I mean, there's limited space from.
there's limited space, you know, but we pick and choose our spots. We have a great real estate team. And like I said, we're continuing to have an aggressive plan as we move forward through the rest of the year here in New York City.
And 1 to 2 mile radius from the store or warehouse seems, that makes sense. Yeah. I wonder where I used to live in Brooklyn, if it would go there near Prospect Park.
Yeah. I always look at it this way. I'm like, man, if I lived in New York City, I mean, I would like, you know, looking for a pint of ice cream at 9 o'clock at night, I'd be like, I'd do that thing all the time, right? It's like when you think about some of the things that, you know, that we do, it's pretty amazing.
Where are you based?
I live in New Jersey. So I live in South Jersey. So I'm 15 miles out from Philadelphia. So, you know, I go up and back to New York, you know, once or twice a week up to New York City. And it's great to be in the city when you walk around and look around your warehouses, all the types of products that people sell around there. Like I said, it's very cultural. And you're always looking for what's that little local item that we have that we can put on our app, and what can we do to develop products? You know, people come to us to develop products too. Some big companies, some big CPG companies are working with us right now.
Well, I mean, the city is the testing grounds for the rest of the country.
Yeah. People want to develop brands. They come that. That's what's very exciting with us. Hey, we want to do something in New York. We want to do something in the city. And we'll roll the partner with anybody and listen to develop products. That's what's fun about this job. That's what I like about it.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Talking about this business, I know there's a lot of curiosity out there with folks, and hopefully this kind of cleared it up and gave everybody a snapshot of how Fast Convenience Grocery works.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. I found it fascinating how Gorillas operates and the way they can do it so fast. If I still lived in Brooklyn, I'd totally try it. It makes sense why they can't do it an hour outside of the city in the suburbs. But you never know, someday. If you like what you hear, please hit the subscribe button and rate us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And enjoy our earlier episodes. Last week, we talked with Beth Keaton of Elephant House PR on her Viva Clean Eating Challenge journey. And the week before, we heard from three leaders at Zena Drone about creating drone technology for agriculture, food service, and retail uses. And if you work in the fresh produce industry, find us on our websites, producemarketguide.com and thepacker.com. We're also active on several social media platforms like Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter. You can find more ways to follow us in our show notes, plus some helpful links to learn more about our episode guests. And we'll have more of these great healthy lifestyle conversations about every week. Thank you so much. I hope you learned something useful and inspirational. Talk to you next time.